Good morning to everybody. If you didn't hear me the first time because the mic wasn't working, welcome to everybody in the room and online. Philip, come on up here and give us something. And don't make me have to pimp up here and stall for time so that there's no dead air for any particularly long length of time, because otherwise I'll just be standing up here talking and...
No dead air. All right. So, how's y'all's week been, everybody? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know there's a lot of cool things going on. I know Sue was asking about a cattery beforehand, and I can tell her a lot faster and type it. But a cattery is on its way. Still got a lot of... Chapel's on the way. Still got a lot of cutting to do, a lot of leveling out to do, but it's on its way. I'm hopefully I want to get those OSB boards down by before I go out to Arizona in October. So just keep that in prayer, guys, as we move along there. I'm just, any chance I get out there to try to get that in a forward motion. So praise the Lord, and getting some headway there. I know Tristan helped me out, and that was awesome. But I have to say that it's been one awesome week for me. Extremely busy, but one awesome week. And the Lord, you know, we've seen that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You know, His grace is sufficient for me. And let me tell you, His grace is so sufficient for us. So sufficient for us. What we've got to do is humble ourselves and realize we need it. That's our part on the matter. That's our part on the matter. But His grace is definitely sufficient, you know. And with the extreme, I was extremely busy this week. And you know what the coolest thing was is, you know, I've been extremely busy. Every chance I've been working. And but the Lord always provides. You know I wanted to spend some time with my girls this week, and I've just been too busy to during the week. But what ended up happening was, one of my girls woke up early one morning. And this is just a small testimony of how awesome the Lord is. One of my girls woke up early one morning with me before I went to work. And we were able to get in the Word. And we were able to pray. And we were able to spend one-on-one time. And it was probably the most precious time that I could ever spend with them, because it was just me and them. It was just me and her. And the Lord. Amen. And then the next day, I had to go to work. Woke up. The other one was awake early with me, and I got to do the same thing. You know, so no matter how busy you are, no matter what the Lord has you doing, and you think that you don't have enough time or all that, the Lord provides all that. And don't worry about that stuff, because He provided for me. You know, He's provided me all week long. Got a new car, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for it. But I tell you, I about felt sick after signing that contract. I can tell you what, I was like... And I had to shake that garbage off. I had to shake that garbage off. And it was funny, the next day we went into Psalm, I think it's Psalm 3. And we can go ahead and turn there if you want. I didn't think I was really going there this morning, but praise the Lord. Psalm 3, looking for it. Yep, Thou art shield. You know, And this is where David, I believe, I don't know exactly what time this was occurring in David's life, but I tell you, it seemed like he was under hot pursuit when this was going on, when he was singing this praise. And it says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. For the Lord sustained me. That's what it says. No matter about how many enemies were around Him, He gave the Lord the glory. He gave the Lord the glory. He made the Lord His shield. Who can come against the living God who created heaven and earth? Nobody. Nobody. and the lifter of his head. He had something to look forward to. He had somebody to look up to, and his name was Jesus. And he was there, right there with him, and the Lord sustained him. And no matter what you're going through, guys, no matter what you're going through, be about the Lord's business. Be about what He would have you do. Let the rest take care of itself. It talks about, is my mic off? No. The scripture also talks about if you continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith. I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to turn to Colossians. Colossians, I think 1:16. For by Him all things were created, yes. If I can get there today. Colossians, here you go. And I just want to start at chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. So here's the Lord. He finished the work. It's done. There we go. So we're back on. And I'm very loud. Well, at least I can hear myself. I know I'm on, and it's cutting in and out again. That was you? Okay. All right. Well, praise God. Amen. What we're talking about in Colossians, He's finished the work. He's finished the work. And it's saying here in Colossians that all things were made by Him and for Him. And He has, through what He's done, took the curse. He took our sin. All we have to do is receive it. It's right there. It's right there. And the thing that I've been seeing is the continuation of just having that zeal for the Lord, that it's about the Lord. Lord, what would You have me do? No matter how up and down the day goes, no matter what the circumstances around You are, and just trusting Him. That's what it's about. That's how you walk in Him. You're not to sweat the details. It's not your job. You're not God. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. The only way that you can be made unblameable or present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight is by what Jesus Christ did. And His righteousness, the work that He has done. That's it. It's through His blood. So nothing you can do, you can really take glory for at all. You know, the Lord found me. The word was preached to me. I didn't find the Lord. It was presented to me. And I had a choice. Now I have a choice. I can accept it, follow Him, or I can reject it. and die. It's very simple. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, Jesus Christ, life, peace, love, world, death, corruption, hell. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer, folks. But because of pride, and because people want to think themselves to be something that they're not, they reject Christ. They reject Christ. And they call it foolishness. But the Lord's coming, folks. And as we go through our, as we go in our walk, let's remember what He did. It's all about what He did. And you simply just make the choice of what? Following Him, doing His will. It says right here, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. This is what Paul was about. This is what Paul was about. He was about serving the Lord with the zeal that nothing else mattered to him but doing what the Lord would have him do. And that's it. Filling up with that which was lacking in the church. Perfecting the saints. He did not live for himself. He lived for the Lord and others. And that's what we're called to do. If we're going to want to grow in the Lord, if we're going to be partaker of His grace, if we want to abide in the vine, we're going to have that love. And the only love, the love comes from the Father through the Son. It's about what His did. He's the one that has perfect love, not us. And all we're doing is being a partaker and taking that same love that He gave us, and He shed that blood on the cross. We're taking that same love, that agape love of choice, and we're just passing it on, and giving it. And you know what? You abound in it more abundantly, because the Lord says, "Oh, He's taking my love and He's sharing it with people. He's sharing it with people. He wants to please me." And He wants to love others. And that's what He's about. Here, have all you want. That's the place I want to be. Amen. But if we're all about ourselves, if we're all about with judgment, if we're all in division, Christ is not divided. If we're all in division, we're all about ourselves, that's going to be cut off. Because it's all about you. How is the Lord going to, if you're not faithful what He's giving you now, how is He going to give you more? He's going to cut that right off. Because your eyes are in the wrong place. Your eyes are in the wrong place. And look, it can happen so easily. It's so easy to get lost in that, and it's all about you. Happens just that quick. And usually, when that happens, praise God, I fall flat on my face. Praise God, thank you. And that is grace. Because that gets me, and then I can count it what? All joy. Because I can set my heart and my affections on the Lord and remember that it's not about me, it's about what the Lord did for me. It's about what the Lord did for me. He is good, He is awesome, and He has blessed me so much and has forgiven me for so much. That I just want to tell everybody else how much the Lord can bless them and forgive them, and it washes all sin. And you can move forward in that. And you can trust in that. And His grace is sufficient for you. Was it Paul talks about pressing toward the mark? Pressing toward the mark? You can only press toward the mark if you let go of the past. How can you let go of the past unless you trust the sacrifice of what Jesus did for you? What Jesus did for you, He took it. That's the only way you can keep moving forward. Because His grace is sufficient for you. He loves you. Hang on to that. Move forward. And if you're in a place of pride, and you're a place of it's about you, get on your knees. And if you don't think of a place, get on your knees and say, Lord, show me where my heart's at. I want it to be right with you. I don't know what my heart is, but I know I want it to be right with you. Create in me a clean heart. Show me, Lord, so I can cast off these idols and this garbage and the flesh that's in my ways. I don't want them anymore. Amen? Guys, just remember this week, keep pressing forward. The Lord loves you. Get on your knees. Repent. Repent. If you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, trust the Lord, repent, and keep moving forward. Yeah, don't give up as a mustard seed. Don't give up, guys. And you find your place in just a complete wrong, repent. He's just and faithful to forgive you. Amen? And with that, I'm going to stop. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, well, it's to technically challenge people. I'm amongst them who I'm sure are the problem. You know, spent a little time thinking about the offense of the gospel. It is awful simple. And we don't like to think of us, fancy ourselves to be simple people. We're complicated. All those Facebook, how's your, you know, relationship status? It's complicated. It's one of the statuses, right? Well, needless to say, that's a position of pride. But, and this was the last scripture that Lord gave me, and I'm not sure how I'm going to put all this stuff together, but it'll put it together somehow. I haven't gotten it, I'll tell you. I'm not going to spend, you're only going to do one verse in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's a good thing, a good suggestion of the Lord's. You know, I sat with Davey and Mike Dill 3 and 4 nights a week in his shed for 4 or 5 hours a night some nights. Some nights it didn't break up until 3 o'clock in the morning. It started at 7:30. And it took me a long time to receive what I was getting without having to first understand it. That's just not the sequence it goes in. You believe and you get your relationship right with the Lord, and then He reveals perfect knowledge, perfect understanding to you. That comes, that's the third thing that comes. And that comes from staying in His Word, staying in relationship with Him, staying in conversation, keep coming to the light. You have to dispense, and this was a long transition, because I was being told things that I'm and they weren't doctrinal things. They were just things about me personally that were, you know, they were like words of wisdom and stuff about me personally. And I'm sitting there going, boy, he's pulling this stuff way out of left field. I was judging that stuff as just being absolutely the most unlikely stuff that he could possibly be putting out there. And it took the next 3 or 4 years, and every single word of it was true. The most far out in my judgment, the most unlikely stuff in my judgment was true. And I went from having a family to being alone, because His words were true, and I had to know the truth. And it was hard at that time to see that as his mercy and grace extended to me. But I had to learn that first you believe. You have to be willing to believe in the face of not seeing it naturally. Because you have to learn to see spiritually. Nicodemus was told he couldn't see or understand the kingdom of God unless he was born again. And an awful lot of time there treading water, trying to filter things through. And I didn't see it as being stuff I was processing through my own understanding and blinding myself to the truth. When it came to the Word, I just sucked that up when he was doing the Word. I understood it. I didn't have a block to receiving the Word, you know, what he was teaching out of the Word. But what he was telling me as it related personally to my life, that was just too far out for me to even receive. That was wild, right? And it was so dead on truth. And because the Lord loved me, he had to show me it was dead on truth. And naive me, I'm sitting there going, that's impossible, man. My wife's going to leave me. Come on, man. This is me here. Well, she didn't let any dust settle behind her, man. She was gone. So, I wanted to take a couple of minutes and go over some things in Luke where Jesus says some things that defy judgment of the people they're talking to. He's talking to. In Luke, I think it's 10, 18 and 19. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread over serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You believe that? He's telling his disciples here, he's telling them the 11 at any rate, or however many he dispatched on that, you know, mission. When he sent out the 70 and he sent out and out 12 at another time, I lose track of the numbers. But they were amazed because demons had to respond to what they commanded them. Next verse, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's not our nature. We get a hold of some power over somebody or something, and we want to go, hey, you know. Says the rejoicing. What is to rejoice about? Is your name written in the book of life? But just as true as your names are written in the book of life, you have power to tread over serpents and scorpions, and over, what does it say? All the power of the enemy. How much? All the power of the enemy. Who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And in Luke 18, 18. You know, and one of the nice things about Philip is, although Philip took what seemed like forever and many go-rounds to get understanding, it took a lot less time than I took. It took me years and years and years and years and years and years. Philip's ups and downs and gyrations were compact compared to mine. It took me 20 years, man. That's two-thirds of his life. What I say it was to 1818. Certain ruler asked him, saying, "God, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All of these things I've kept from my youth." Well, I doubt that. But Jesus didn't take issue with that. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Ye lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God." I read these things, and I start looking away and start reciting a verse from memory, and the memory isn't so intact as I thought it was. Yeah, it's bad when you memorize the other one, and you didn't realize it was that way. So, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God." I'm going to get that right. "And they that heard it said, who then can be saved?" Because this is not what they either learned in the natural or were taught in the synagogues. They were taught that if you were being prospered, that the Lord loved you and was affirming your acceptance. That was the original prosperity gospel. It was not true. And this was an affront to that teaching. This guy was rich. And by all the natural understandings, that was how they looked on somebody and determined whether they had favor with God or not. Some of the prospering did not take.
That's where they got it from.
But most of the prospering were prospering in the relationship with God. In some cases, they were taken care of
with secondary.
This was where I'm going through with the next thing. But that was stripping these guys' gears, because that had become the filter through which they saw everything. If somebody was doing well, they were being prospered, they had favor with the Lord. And that was just not the case. Again in Luke. We'll go to 12. Let's go to 12, verse 6. "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye of more value than many sparrows." He didn't say that the hair was going to stay a constant count, but said they're numbered. You trust in Him for your provisions, and He meets you. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. If he's concerned about the sparrow, and He knows how many hairs are on your head. His people online can't see me smiling here. But that same God, when your heart wants to know Him, when your heart wants to receive His perfect understanding, when your heart counts everything that's gone before as dung, and only what you receive from Him is worth anything, then He will prosper you according to His will. He will prosper you to what He has for you to do for Him. And He won't abandon you. He's faithful. The nature that we have, that we have to give it up and be proactively willing to believe His word, even the stuff that doesn't make sense. Because sense will come, but belief is the key that opens the door. And at some points, even becomes even harder to believe, when you have to labor against unbelief. Because what He says here is true, and if it's not true for you, then it's not Him that's not faithful. It's you who are in unbelief. And I couldn't cite for you the time or place where it switched for me, but I can receive everything He says and believe it, even if I don't understand. And there's sometimes when I'll be preaching up here about something that I don't understand, but I just know that it's true. And while I'm preaching, He shows me something. Because I resolve to believe it first. And not to just believe it, but to preach it to others because I believe it. And with it comes perfect knowledge and perfect understanding. You know, sometimes we can't get it all at once. We'd be puffed up. But he reveals it to us as we need it. He's good. He's faithful. He loves us. He doesn't love any particular one of us more than the other one. But He does honor belief. When you believe first and are willing to understand second, He'll meet you. Believe and do, and understanding will come. And if you have a ministry to be ministering and you're not doing it, you better do it. You'll understand. You'll understand later. You minister because you believe Him. His word is true. He's faithful. He'll show up. You'll know why. You'll find out why. But why is not a requirement for you to be doing what you need to be doing. You know, when He says, I called you servants, but now I call you friends. Friends know what the master is doing. The more faithful you are in acting on belief without understanding, the closer you get to the friend where he can actually share with you what's going on. But not because, well, I need to know. No, all you need to do. And it's not that complicated. Love God, love one another. I think it's an interesting thing that when he started reciting the commandments, it's not exactly everything that's in the Ten Commandments, but it probes the way we relate to one another. How do you relate to your parents? You ever lied in testimony about one of your neighbors, one of the brethren? Don't steal. Don't cheat on your wife. These are all things that have to do with how we deal with other people. Loving God, loving one another. Simple, not always easy. Always simple. The end point of all this is receiving the perfect knowledge and perfect understanding Peter talks about. And you actually have something to teach somebody. As your spiritual eyes are open, you have spiritual understanding. You don't have the default drive trying to understand something before you can believe it. A lot of people walking around out there right now that have to understand something before they believe it. And all this stuff happened. I was listening to a radio show, and this guy was talking about how the government today is all about forcing you to have to share with those that are less fortunate. And while I understood his point, he went to this passage in Luke and totally missed what Jesus was saying here. Jesus wasn't saying that for everybody to enter the kingdom of God, that you had to sell everything you had. What Jesus was saying here was you had to abandon idolatry. I mean, if you want an overall thing, there was nothing specific about giving everything you have to the poor. It was me first, not your stuff. And he was saying that their de facto, when they start invoking scripture, what they want to tell you, what they want to come to is, you have to sell everything you got and give it all to the poor. Well, when Zacchaeus came around, Zacchaeus told Jesus he was going to give back everything he had stolen and do that four times and then sell half of everything he had, and give half of everything he had away. Well, in the first case, he told this guy he had to sell everything. In the second case, with Jack, he said, all I'm going to do is give away half. And Jesus said, salvation has come to thy house today. So one was required to sell it all. The other one gave half of it away, and that was enough. So which one are you going to make the governmental doctrine on the basis of Scripture? because there were two different instances with two different people with two different hearts is not a doctrine. You can't make it a doctrine. You have to. This was the thing he was missing. Government's not God. And they might have the power to put a gun to your head and take everything you got, but there's nothing righteous about it. Because Jesus told this guy he had to sell everything. That was this guy. That was his idol. His treasure was in his stuff, not in heaven. And when you can know the hearts of men, you can do stuff like that. But government can't keep track of itself. They don't know what one hand's doing from the other one. They're just spending money and don't know why. So, it just floored me. Because what he said sounded real good. It just didn't line up with Scripture. And he was right, but he didn't understand why. So, the first thing you have to understand is you don't have to understand. All you have to do is believe. The doors of heaven start to open up. I don't know when that happens to you. I hope for everyone's sake it's already happened. But you have to believe. You don't have to understand. If you believe first, understanding will come. You're faithful. Because he's faithful. Father, I just thank you for your word, your righteousness and your justice and your mercy and your loving kindness. Lord, open our hearts and purge us of all unrighteousness. Cleanse our hearts, purify our motives. Help us to take that which we believe and cast it all upon you. Because you're the only thing that's true and faithful and loving and kind and merciful. You sent your Son and his blood covered us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. actually needed that vocal mic on that one, didn't you?
Let's jump in and redeem it.
Do you have that mic on?
That mic is on, but it doesn't matter at all.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
Well, I'm glad you all made it out and you sounded not too terribly bad. God bless.
Thank you all for joining us. See you Thursday night.